We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to February. I pray that all is going well for you in your life. And like we talked about on Friday, I hope that this last weekend, it is our prayer that God was able by his hand to push you forward in your knowledge of him, in your love for him, in your service for him. I pray that you know that God is giving you today your daily bread, and he's pushing you forward to become everything that he created you and I to be. And so I really pray that you have had a great weekend at church. And we would like to say, we don't mention it every broadcast, but if you do not have a church home, and we would love to invite you to be a part of Merit Assembly of God. We rejoice in the things that God is doing for us and through us at the church, and we give him all the glory and all the praise. So I'd like to start off today by mentioning Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, you could reach Greg at that number, 536-5804. They're based right here in Cocoa, Florida. They've done a work for us in the past, and they will do a fine job for you, I am sure. So praise the Lord. Today is just the first broadcast that we have in the month of February. Do want to let you know about our Vintage Worship Service that is coming up on Wednesday. And if you have opportunity to partake of that, 11 a.m., we would really be honored if you joined us for that. And also Wednesday night is our kids ministry, so we wanted to bring you that attention. So Wednesday is a very busy day for us at the church. So today we want to get right into the Word. We are going to continue. Right now we are talking about the process that God can use to answer our prayer that is there in Matthew chapter 6, give us this day our daily bread. And we started talking about this process a little bit last week. You know, sometimes there are things that he just freely gives us. But there are other times where he uses a different process. One of the things that Christians often get hung up in is because God did it one way, one time, that we get it into our head that that's the way that he has got to do it all of the time. And God is a great, big, wonderful God. He is very diverse in his method. You could look in the Gospel of John. You could see how he ministered to his first disciples. That was different than the way that he ministered to Nicodemus. It was different than the way that he ministered to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, which was different than the way that he ministered to the entire city. You see, God is not limited to just doing thing in one single style of process. Now, when it comes to salvation, there is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. But the method that God uses to answer this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, can be very diverse. And so I'm always thankful when God gives me something that is absolutely free. I didn't do anything for it. That is called grace. It's unmerited favor. We're going to talk a little bit about grace in some upcoming broadcasts. Don't know exactly when that's going to come. But I'm always thankful when he gives me something just because he loves me. But today we're going to talk a little bit more about the process of that he uses most of the time. And so if you have your word, if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, And I'm going to begin reading today in verse number 11. It says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping the commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied." Now, that sounds great to me. "When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end." So I wanted to read all of that because this goes right back into that provision of manna. Verse number 17, "Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So look at that verse again, verse number 18. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power or the ability to get wealth, to produce wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So here we are looking at this process, and in our previous broadcast, we had discussed the work, the assignment that God gives us. You know, what does biblical success look like to God as opposed to success in accordance with the world standards? And here it talks about that there was a danger that God, through Moses, was warning the people of, and that is when you reach a place of financial provision, where you reach a level of financial blessing in your life, that there can be a danger in that place, and that is that you forget the Lord your God. You forget that it was he who got you through the very hazardous journey that was involved in getting you to that place. Today, I can confidently state this: you are where you are in relationship to God because of his mercy. Because of his mercy. I guarantee you that every person here has had plenty of opportunities that the devil could have taken you out had God not said, "No, you can't have them." I rejoice in some of the people that I know that they actually had situations in their life where they were dead, and God miraculously brought them back to life. And if they had died and stayed dead in their previous condition, they would not have been spending eternity with Jesus. But now, because of what God has done in their life, they have an entirely new destiny. I remember a man that when I was just a kid, he came into our Sunday school class, and he told us of a time when he was in the hospital, and his wife was sitting there, and all of a sudden he started telling his wife, "Put out the flames, put out the flames." And he was in the hospital room, and he felt the flames of hell all around his feet. And then he died and came back to life. And when he did, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And you can say, "Oh, you know, that's just an experience and all that." I want you to know that hell is a very real place. Forgetting God is a very dangerous thing. Ignoring God, rebelling against God, those have consequences. I'm not telling you that hell is real because of that man's experience. What I am telling you is hell is real because Jesus said hell was a very real place. And he doesn't want us to forget God, and he doesn't want us lifted up in pride. He doesn't want us thinking that everything that we achieve, it is because of our own wisdom or our own might or our own intellect. So let's look at what it says here. It says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Verse number 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God. Today, as we are focusing on give us this day our daily bread, remember God. Remember what he's brought you through. Remember it is he who saved you, and it is he who keeps you. It's he who is preparing a place for you. It's he who bestows good gifts on you. It's he who numbers your days and orders your steps because he loves you. And it says, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, or as the NIV says, he gives you the ability to produce wealth. I believe that God is still the creator God. I believe that he is still smarter than the smartest person on the planet. I believe that he knows things that man has yet to discover. You know, I see people all the time now as they're walking down the road. There's no one walking with them, and they're just talking as they're walking down the street. You know, because of some of the technology that's out there, they don't even have to have a phone in their hands or wireless technology or anything like that, that you can tell. And people are walking down the street, they're having a conversation, and you don't think anything of it anymore. You know, a few decades ago, if you were doing that, 3, 4, 5 decades ago, if there was a person walking down the street and they were just talking and there was nobody there, you would be taking them and having them evaluated to see if, you know, they were all doing all right mentally. And now man's technology is advanced. And I want you to know that prayer is simply talking to God. It's our spirit communing with God's spirit. And just because man's technology doesn't recognize it does not mean that it is fabricated or that it's just fictitious. It's something that God has placed within us. He has given us access to the throne of grace. So I believe that God gives us still today the ability to produce wealth. I talk a lot about one of my heroes from history being a guy by the name of George Washington Carver. And he would go in whenever he was presented with a situation. They had an oversupply of peanuts. They didn't know what to do. They were growing peanuts and they didn't have anything to do with them. And George Washington Carver would go into his laboratory and he would shut the door and he would pray and ask God to give him the solution. And just a great number of products that we have, that we partake of nutritionally today, can be traced back to those prayer encounters that George Washington Carver had with his God, who gave him the ability to produce wealth. If you've ever had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you can thank George Washington Carver. He was such a renowned inventor. He had such a creative ability that even when he lived, which was a long time ago, back when $100,000 was a lot of money, he was offered by Thomas Edison $100,000 a year to come and work for him, and he turned him down. He turned him down. And so God still gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so if you're in a situation that you need, and you say, God, give us this day our daily bread, then I encourage you to get into your prayer closet and say, God, would you give me the ability to produce wealth? Would you give me the power to invent something? You know, there was a guy by the name of Eli Whitney that there was an insect that threatened to destroy the entire cotton industry, and he invented the cotton gin so that there was a greater efficiency in the way that cotton was harvested, and all of a sudden that was a breakthrough technology. Henry Ford in the assembly line, breakthrough technology. And so I just encourage you, don't settle that things have got to stay the same that they are. I do not believe that you are on a fixed income as long as you are serving an omnipotent and unlimited God. And it says here, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, or the ability to produce wealth, not just so your bank account has more zeros to it, but listen to what it says, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Why should you be praying, God, would you today give us the ability to produce wealth? And here's the answer. So that your covenant will be established in this Monday the same way as it's always been. God, we know that you are true to your covenant. We know that you are faithful to your covenant. Establish your covenant today. Establish your covenant today. And so he will give you the ability to produce wealth. And so I encourage you to make that a matter of prayer. There is another scriptural reference, and it says that especially in an agrarian society, this, you know, where people were dependent upon food. If you did not have food, you did not have a Publix grocery store, you didn't have McDonald's restaurants to go to, you didn't have any of that. And so if people went through a drought, it was devastating to the region, devastating to the economy. And the Word of God says that God is the one who gives rain. God is the one who gives crops in their season. God gives plenty of food, and God gives it with joy. God gives the rain, he gives the crops, he gives plenty of food, and he gives us the ability to enjoy that. But all of that, all of those things that are given are required for us to partner with him and to make those things a reality. So there's a book that I read a long time ago, and it was a little bitty booklet, and it was basically on this premise: does the ability to tithe, will that really make a difference in a person's life? And it was done from the premise of an agricultural test. There was a guy who went and he bought just a minimal amount of seed. And when he went out, he planted that seed, he took care of it, he harvested it. And the first thing that he did when that came to pass was he sowed a tithe off of that. He gave that to the local church, and then he took all of the rest of that seed and he put it right back into harvest the next year. And then he did that over and over and over again. And within just a few years, I think it was like 3 or 4 years, the harvest that was coming in was so abundant that in order for it to continue, he had to entrust seed to other farmers who would promise that they would do the same thing, that they would tithe off of the increase. And it went from a handful of seed to a great abundance. And it was so incredibly impressive that some of the business titans of the world at that time actually got in on the test just because they were so amazed with it. God gives you the rain, he gives us the crops in our season, he gives us plenty of food, and he gives us the ability to enjoy it. And so I want you to know today that if you have everything that you could ever imagine that you would need, but you are missing joy, I want you to know that on this Monday, God can give you the joy to go along with all of that provision. He is not just looking at us as mechanisms to accomplish, agricultural blessing or a job. There was a story here not too long ago about one of the world's most famous football players, not one of my favorite football players, and his dad said that, you know, when it all comes down to it, even though with everything that he's accomplished for his franchise and everything, that it when it comes to the end of the career, that it's going to end badly. It's going to end badly because eventually they're going to say, I'm sorry, sir, your services are no longer required. And, you know, everybody has to face those transitions from time to time. My grandfather worked for the same company for over 50 years. My grandfather loved his work. He loved to work. If he was not working at the job, he was working after the job. He was working in his yard. He was working on a mower. He just loved to work. It was a great joy and a great satisfaction to him to work. And so whatever God gives you and I, when he gives us the ability to do something, I want you to know that he will also, along with that, give us the joy that is necessary, or the joy that he doesn't have to produce that. He chooses to bless us with the joy. And so I believe that some of the best equipped people on the planet are Christians who have said, God, I know that you have a work that I can do. And they are doing it with God's help. He's pushing them forward, like we talked about on Friday's broadcast. They say, God, the ability to do this comes from you, and I am so thankful. I am doing it with joy. And so if you lack joy in your life, I encourage you, go to the book of Philippians. Spend some time in the book of Philippians and reading. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so make sure that you are, when you're saying, give us this day our daily bread, that you're not just talking about something, you know, that's just going to meet your need for a little bit, but that there's also something there that you are going to be able to enjoy. So I want to take you back this morning to the book of Psalms. And I'm going to look at a couple of passages of scripture here. Psalm 29, verse number 10, it says, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And also over in Psalm 68, in verse number 35, it says, O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Now, in both of those passages, you couple that with the reality that when he gives you the ability to produce wealth, he's going to give you the strength to accomplish that task. If we are trying to accomplish it in our own strength or in our own might, we are going to become fatigued, we are going to become weak, and we're not going to, I mean, it's going to be a drudgery, not a joy. It's going to be constantly pushing us to our own realization that without him we can do nothing. But these two passages, Psalm 29 and Psalm 68, let me address Psalm 29 first. It says, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord sits as king forever. And it says, he will give strength to his people. So right here at the beginning of the week, I know that Mondays are oftentimes one of the least enjoyed days of the week, because there is, you know, the weekend has come to an end, and now you've got your eyes set on the next weekend, and it's like, oh, do I have to go back to work again? No, you get to go to work again. I know people right now that, I don't care what your job is right now, they would switch places with you in a heartbeat because they do not have a job to go to. And so the Lord will give strength to his people. And then it says, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. And so when you have an assignment from God, not only is he going to give you the job to do, he's going to give you everything that is necessary to make that to make that job accomplished, to help get that job accomplished. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you joy. And he is going to give you the peace to do it. He's going to give you the peace. And then in Psalm 68, it says, "The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God." And so whenever we are looking at those passages of Scripture, we need to constantly remember that at the end of the task, the thing that should be declared is, "To God be the glory." It's not about us. This world is so celebrity obsessed right now. Even they've done studies and they've focused on young people who believe that they should be a celebrity. I want you to know who should be the celebrity in your world and my world, and that's Jesus. I want Jesus to be exalted more than anything. I'm not hung up on you know what people think of me. I want people to like me, but if them liking me comes at the expense of God's word, then they're not going to like me, because I am still of the mindset that God's word is settled forever, that God is the one whose approval is the one that really matters, that at the end of my life, when I stand before him, that if he does not say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," everything else has been in vain. And, you know, people, in fact, there's a saying in the world, and that is, these people are just enjoying their 15 minutes of fame. That's how fleeting fame is in this world. You might have been an A-list celebrity one day, and now you might be a D-list celebrity. There are people who have risen to the highest accolades in the entertainment profession, and they've seen how empty it was, and they walked away. Why do you think that so many of them have such high-profile failures in their life? Is because at the end of that ladder, there is no satisfaction. But when you are living to please God and say, "God, give us this day our daily bread. Give me the work that I need to do. Give me the ability to produce wealth. May you be God over this process. Give me the rain. Give me the season. Give me the timing. And give me the joy. Give me the strength. Give me the peace to make it all happen. And at the end of the day, I am going to say, to God be the glory. Great things he has done." Father, I pray right now that you give every person that's listening the ability to produce wealth for your glory and your praise. Give them joy. Give them peace. Give them strength to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless.